He came through. In the book of Malachi, the first chapter and the 14th verse, God said through his prophet Jeremiah or Malachi, I am a great king. And yes, the Lord is a great king, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And in view of that, everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord, because he's worthy. I said he's worthy to be praised. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark. And I like to begin reading at the 25th verse. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, verse number 25. You have that, say amen. Amen. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to read verse 26 again. Verse 25 and 26. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I want to use that text and talk for a little while from a very important subject. When you come to ground zero, when you come to ground zero. The Oxford English Dictionary in 1946 cited a report given in the New York Times. And in that report, it was reporting on the devastation that had been brought upon the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And they had been leveled by an atomic or nuclear bomb, and the term ground zero was coined. And ground zero meant the surface of the ground immediately beneath the explosion of a bomb, and in particular a nuclear or atomic bomb. Last Sunday was September the 11th, 2011, some 10 years after the fact, that a terrorist attack took place on these shores, where terrorists hijacking jet planes, they became flying missiles. And these planes were launched into the World Trade Center, the economic nerve center of America. And these two twin tower experienced structural damage because of the intensity of the fires. And reporters, after those towers collapsed and left a large debris field, reporters then began to refer to that site as Ground Zero. So Ground Zero talks about the point of an explosion, of atomic explosion. It talks about now, in view of the wake of the terrorist attacks in 2011, you're talking about Ground Zero as the place where the twin towers fell and so much death and pain, over 3,000 people lost their lives. Now we're using this term Ground Zero in this lesson to talk about the situations and circumstances in life that you come to that shatter your world and leave in its wake a debris field of pain and devastation and destruction. So when you come to Ground Zero, I want to talk about two things in this lesson with you. And I hope that on some level this message speaks to everybody here. I want to talk about when you come, or you must face Ground Zero. You must face Ground Zero. And then the final point is, those on Ground Zero need a hero. Those on Ground Zero need a hero. You know, I'm thankful this morning for my grandparents and my parents. And I think all of us on some level could relate to that, because all of our grandparents and parents tried to share with us some wisdom. They tried to give us the benefit of their thinking and their experience. They would say from time to time, and I'm sure some of you have heard it, they would say from time to time, get yourself an education, because they can't take that away from you. And they realize that in life sometimes things will be taken away from you. And they also told us that you know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. And you don't know where you got to go. Is that all right? And sometime in life, even though you'd rather not go, you may find yourself at Ground Zero. Because Jesus talked about the fact that in life, life has challenges, life has problems. And maybe you're sitting on the mountaintop right now, and thank God if you are. But it may come a time when you have to visit Ground Zero. Because Jesus talked about in life, he said that torrential rains descend and sweeping, swirling flood waters rise and angry winds roar and they beat upon your life. And the only way your life can stand, it depends upon the foundation upon which you're building your life. So what do you do when you face Ground Zero? You know, prophets and preachers and poets and writers have talked about the tragedy in life. Job said, man born of a woman is of a few days. Brother Wyatt, and he said, they're full of trouble. You know, I don't care if you got an unlisted number, trouble will call you. You may have an unlisted address, but trouble will find your unlisted address. Is that all right? Trouble will email you. Trouble will text you. Trouble will page you. Is that all right? Because we're living in a world of trouble. And that's why Jeremiah, in talking about ground zero, because Judah had reached ground zero in their relationship with God. And ground zero is the lowest point. Jeremiah said, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears." He said, "I'd weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people." He said, Judah had reached ground zero. And then Paul Lance Dunbar talked about ground zero. He said, "A crust of bread and a corner to sleep in, a minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a pint of joy to a peck of trouble, never to laugh, and the moans come double." And that is life. He said they had reached ground zero. And then Arthur Schopenhauer, talking about ground zero, said that life is an endless pain with a painful end. Shakespeare, talking about ground zero, talking about life, he said, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Sometime in life, you have to, even though you don't want to, you know where you've been, you know where you are, but you don't know where you gotta go. But even if you go to ground zero, you need a hero. Is that all right? And sometime in life, you can come to ground zero in your health. Oh yeah, somebody said that sometime we don't appreciate health until it's gone. Amen. Oh, and when it's gone, you realize what a gift I had. Well, in the text today, the woman with an issue of blood, she came to ground zero. How do you know, Moss? Because for 12 years, 12 long, heartbreaking years, she had an illness. And she went to doctor after doctor. And instead of the condition getting better, it got worse. You ever been in a situation where you're fighting with an illness and you're trying to get better, but instead of you getting better, it seems like you're getting worse? That can be ground zero. Job came to ground zero in his health. The devil said, I'm gonna try to get him to curse God, and if I take away his money and take away his children, I can get him to curse God. But Job still didn't curse God. And finally, the devil said, if I can just touch his body, if I can touch your body with sickness, I'll see how much faith you got then. If I can touch your body with sickness, I'll see how faithful you will be then. If I can touch your body with sickness, I'll see how often you'll read your Bible then. If I can touch your body with sickness, I'll see how often you'll be in prayer. And so the Bible say that, brother, hit around over to Job 2. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Bible tells us that the devil smote Job with boils. And some scholars tell us Job contracted what's called the black plague. And he had boils broke out over his body. And they were oozing and pulsating with pus and blood. Is that all right? Don't you think that's ground zero? When your body is breaking out? Read it, brother. Here, what does it say?
So went Satan forth from the presence.
So Satan went forth from the presence of God.
And smote Job.
And smote Job.
With sore boils.
With sore. They weren't just boils. They were sores. Come on.
From the sole of his feet.
From the bottom of his feet.
Unto his crown.
Unto the top of his head. He's got boils everywhere. And he had boils that was so much that the sickness disfigured him. You know, you can get sick and you don't even look like yourself. You can get so sick, you just on a shadow of what you used to look like. And when you look at pictures of you when you were in health, when you look at pictures of yourself when you're sick, you see what a difference a day makes. Is that right? And that's why the Bible tells us that it's important for us to be humble. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, we don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. To be honest and frank about it, that's why we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift us up in due season. So sometime you reach ground zero. If you get sick, don't you just think for one moment it's only the doctor that's getting you well. Is that all right? The doctor may give you the medicine, but God makes it work. I met a doctor. He said, he's a great doctor, and he told me, matter of fact, he's a diabetic doctor. He told me, he said, Moss, I'm giving him this medicine, but guess what? He said, I'm praying over this medicine. And I'm praying over this medicine, and I hope that it will work. And then sometime you come to ground zero in terms of your wealth. Amen. Amen. And I'm talking about when you're at ground zero, you broke. You ain't got no money. Is that all right? The Bible tells us that this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she came to ground zero in terms of her health, because instead of getting better, she got worse. And she came to ground zero in terms of her wealth, because the Bible said that she spent all of her living. All of her savings was gone. All of her rainy day funds were gone. All of her nest eggs were gone. All of her disposable income was gone. She was broke. And then Job came to ground zero. You see, sometime, church, I want to speak to you this morning. Sometime, whether you broke or prosperous don't just depend on what you do. Hello? Things bigger than you can happen and you have no control over it. Job was the richest man of the East, but before you can get out of chapter 1, all of his wealth is gone. The Great Depression of the 30s was ground zero for a lot of people, and this current recession, hello y'all. And I was looking at the news, and it said that in the African American community, we're looking at about a 16.7 unemployment rate, and that a lot of black people are being crushed by this recession. You can come, people who had were doing well, were middle class, had nice homes, but lost their job. Now they've lost their houses. I tell you, you can come to ground zero. Job came to ground zero. Then you can come to ground zero in terms of your mental and your psychological health. Let me tell you something. If you got your right mind and a mind to do right, I think I said something right there. Because you can have your right mind, but don't have a mind to do right. Because a lot of people have, they show by their decisions and by their behavior that they don't have their right mind. Or at least in all of their getting, they did not get understanding. Because the Bible said in all of your getting, Brother Harris talked about this morning, cars and jewelry. We want to get that, don't we? Y'all come on, talk back to me. Don't we want to get those nice things? Well, the wise man said, in all of your getting, get understanding. Brother Hillary read about a man whose life, from a psychological and mental standpoint, had been totally devastated. He was at ground zero. He was unsocial and antisocial. He lived in the graveyard. He cut himself constantly with stones, and he was crying day and night. Nobody wanted to be with him. He had reached ground zero. And let me tell you something. If the devil takes control of your mind and your life, you've reached ground zero. Some folks on ground zero and just don't know it. Hello? And then sometime you can reach ground zero when you lose a loved one. Suddenly and tragically, you lose somebody that you love and you don't think you're going to ever get over it. You know, death has a way of ripping out your heart, stomping on your heart, and wonder why you sad. Is that all right? Death has a way of doing it to you. Some people's world got rocked because death came without a warning. And as we sing in a song, when death has come and taken our loved one, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Is that not so? So sometime you can reach ground zero because someone you love passes away. And you feel like your whole world is falling down around you. Amen. And then you can reach ground zero spiritually. Brother Harry, I need you to run over to Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians that you're on ground zero. Now perhaps somebody sitting in this audience today, because if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are on ground zero. You ought to know right now, if you died right now, you ought to know whether you're going to heaven or hell. Is that all right? If Jesus, if the trumpet would sound right now and time would be no more, you ought to know whether you're going to heaven or hell. Is that right? Listen to this fivefold description of the Ephesians before Christ. I want to tell you, the best thing ever happened to me is Jesus Christ. Hello, y'all. Can you say this morning, I had a lot of good things that happened in my life? I got married, amen. Can you say amen to that? I had some beautiful children, can you say amen to that? I finished college, graduated, thank you, Lordy. Can you say amen to that? Got a job, got a little money, can you say amen to that? But the best thing ever happened to me is Jesus Christ came into my life. What does Ephesians 2:12 say? Read it.
But at that time?
At that time.
You were without Christ.
You were? Let me ask you something. At this time, right now, do you have Christ in your life? Because if you don't, you're at ground zero. The lowest point on the surface. And let me tell you something. If Christ is not in your life, your life is a tragedy. Your life is a living tragedy. Listen to me. And if you would die, all that your death would do is magnify the tragic way you live in. That's all death. When somebody dies, you look at it immediately, the life they live. When somebody dies, you reflect on, because life is over. At that time, you were without Christ. Read it.
Being aliens from the
common. Aliens. And I want to keep saying it. One of the reasons why you want to enter the kingdom of God, because in the kingdom of God, you have an eternal inheritance. You got to be out of your mind not to want to enter the kingdom of God. Because blessings untold. And one thing I'm trying to do, Brother Earl, I'm trying to make sure I make it in. Huh? I don't want to mess around here and don't make it in. Because I know that unsearchable riches. What would it profit Moss if he gained the whole world and he lose his soul? Read, Brother Hillary.
Being aliens from the commonwealth. Alien
from the commonwealth of Israel. And the commonwealth. Do you know why we're having such an immigration problem in this country? Do you know why people who are not citizens of this country are trying to get to America? And you got a lot of them out there driving without a license, will hit you and keep going. Hello, y'all. Well, amigo, don't want to go to jail, amigo. Hit you and keep going, is that right? But do you know why they are trying to get to America? To share in the wealth, the commonwealth of this great nation. It's a great nation. The greatest nation on earth. But it's in trouble. Hello, y'all. But our prayers can turn it around. Read, Brother Hillary.
And strangers from the covenant.
Strangers from the covenants of promise.
Having no hope.
Let me tell you something. Let me keep it real. If you are living right now without Christ, you are living without hope. You have no hope. That's ground zero. Can you relate? Is that ground zero? You have no hope. The Ephesians at some point before Christ were spiritually on ground zero. Read it.
And without God.
Without God. I think I can make it with the Lord. God be for me, who can be? But if God is against me, doesn't matter who's for me. Is that all right? Let me give you the final point in this lesson. If you're on ground zero, you need yourself a hero. Amen. Now, ground zero is not a pleasant thing. The prodigal son hit ground zero. Perhaps we got some prodigal sons and daughters in here today. And a prodigal son means a wasteful son. You're just wasting your life following the devil. Is that all right? Amen. He reached ground zero. You know how I know he reached ground zero? Brother Earl, he got all his money, went to the far country. Every day was a party. He let his hair down. He said, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you. If loving you is wrong, I thought y'all knew all that. He just had a party. He just had party. Like the OJ living for the, see, right there, on it. I can't hardly get it out of my mouth and somebody asking me, is that all right? There he was having a good time. And the Bible says he spent all of his money. He reached ground zero. And the biblical text say nobody. Let me tell you something. You're going to find out who your real friends are. Mess around and get in trouble. You'll find out who your real folks are. Is that all right? And do you not know that boy went to the far country, but he didn't have no real folks over there? Because the Bible says that he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he got so low. He was out there feeding swine or hogs or pigs. And church, he got so low, ground zero, he was about to eat the slop that was designed for the pigs. He came from a rich family, but he got so low. Drugs and alcohol can take people to ground zero. I've seen what drugs do to people's lives. Takes away your sanity and your dignity. I've seen what alcohol does to people. Takes away their sanity. The best and the brightest have been destroyed because drugs and alcohol will bring you down to ground zero. And so if you're on ground zero, you need yourself a hero. Now let me tell you this. Ground zero may be painful. Brother Wynn, I'd rather not be there. But if you have eyes to see, and if you have ears to hear, then ground zero tells you that I need God. Do you have to hit rock bottom before you realize you need God? Get from me Hebrews 8:10, Brother Hillary. Hebrews 8:10. What does that say?
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house
of Israel. This is the covenant I make with the house of Israel.
After those days.
That's 8:10?
Yes.
I want the point where he said, I will be your God and you'll be my people. Is that 12?
It's in 10.
It's in 10?
Yes.
Read it, brother.
After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind.
All right.
And write them in their heart.
Read.
And I will be to them a God.
I will be to you
a God.
I can get you off ground zero. I'll be to you a God. And you'll be to me
a people.
You remember what Ruth told Naomi?
Yeah.
Don't tell me not to leave you.
No, sir.
Don't try to push me away, because your God gonna become my God. Your people will become my people. Ground zero lets me know I need a higher power. Who here today need a higher power? Who here can make it by yourself? So like the man was falling off the cliff one day. He's falling down the cliff. He said, oh, Lord, save me. Now you're going down the cliff. He reached out and grabbed the branch. That's all right, Lord. I got it. That's the way some people are, aren't they? Said, oh, Lord, save me. But how many do they need a higher power? I didn't hear much of it. Let me ask the question again. How many today need a higher power? That higher power is Christ. Because can't you say, I can do all things through? I can overcome alcoholism through Christ. I can overcome drug addiction through Christ. I can overcome sexual addiction through Christ. I can overcome lying through Christ. I can overcome stealing through Christ. I can overcome backstabbing and twisting the knife through Christ. Is that all right? I can do all things through Christ. I need a higher power. I can't make it by myself. I need a higher power to be the man I need to be. Can you say amen to that? I need a higher power to be the leader I need to be. Well, let's think about a hero. A hero is someone who is admired for remarkable acts of bravery. A hero is someone who is admired for strength of character. Outstanding accomplishment. We need heroes, don't we? Is that right? I want to ask you, does Jesus Christ fit the bill for a genuine hero? I tell you, he fits the bill to be my hero, because he came down to rescue the whole world from sin. Isn't that a hero? And I need to recognize that Jesus Christ is my hero. He's my mentor. He's my leader. He's my Lord. And don't call him Lord, Lord, if you don't. Like the lady told her child, she said, baby, said, Mama, Mama, she said, take down the sign if you ain't gonna obey. That's false advertising. Don't be calling me Mama, Mama, you ain't gonna obey me. Are y'all all right? I need a hero. Let me tell you this. I got some good news for you as I conclude. And that is, these people found a hero. The woman with the issue of blood. She reached point zero, but thank God, She found a hero. Faith spoke to her. You know, sometime at your lowest point, your faith can come speak something to you. Oh, she had spent all her money, but got no better. And rather, she got worse. Is that all right? But she said, if I could just touch, Lord have mercy. If I could touch the hem of his garment, then I know, even though I've been struggling for 12 years, even though I spent all of my money, even though I'm going through it. And you know, sometimes money, we need money, but money don't need us. Money will leave us. Is that right? And go to the highest bidder. Oh, I wish I had some help here. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know, hallelujah, I'll be made whole. Is that all right? And she went through the crowd. You know, when you need Jesus, don't let nobody stop you from going to Jesus. Went through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was healed. But not only that, the prodigal son found a hero. He found a hero in his daddy. Is that all right? He left his, you know, sometimes you can turn your back and show out on your mama and your daddy, but they still your real heroes. Oh, I wish I had some help here. They still your real hero, because when you need them, said to himself, I've made a mess of things. I'm going home now. And I'm going to tell my daddy when I get there. Here's what I'm going to say. You know, he's rehearsing it up. A lot of times folks can't come back to the church because they're too embarrassed. No, Moss, you preaching this morning. Going to help somebody this morning. But you got to take that pride, Brother Milton. So you got to take that pride and put it in a matchbox and put it in your pocket and go on about and do what you got to do. Is that all right? He said, I'm going home. And I'm going to tell my daddy, I don't deserve to be called your son. And his daddy was his hero. He said, kill the fatted calf. He said, put a ring on his finger. Bring me a robe, wrap it around his shoulders. This is my son. That reached point zero or ground zero. But now I'm glad. That's why the church ought to be rejoicing. When folks done messed up, our own done messed up. And let me tell you something, it ain't going to always be somebody else chilling, messing up. I can't get much this morning, but I'm going to preach anyhow. Might be your child messing up. And you're going to want somebody to have some compassion and sympathy for you. Because you don't know. I tell you, I told you earlier, you know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. And when he got home, his father welcomed him and said, this is my son that was dead. He found a hero at home. And then the man who was out of his mind, in about a day, disturbed psychologically, emotionally, clouds of anxiety are floating in your mental skies. You're having psychological and emotional issues. I tell you, there's a hero for you. There's a man who can give you a peace that passes all understanding. His name is Jesus Christ. Is that all right? They found that man out in the graveyard. He'd been crazy. He was out of his mind with break chamber. When he met Jesus, he was sitting down, Sparks, had on some clothes, and was in his right mind. He left ground zero because he found himself a hero. And I can leave ground zero because I found myself a hero. Even Job found a hero. Even though he was sick, wife told him he ought to curse God and die. Friends accused him, lost his money, lost his children. The Bible says this, that God blessed his latter end better than the former. Oh, I tell you, isn't Jesus Christ wonderful? And let me tell you this as I conclude. If you're on ground zero spiritually, if you left the church, you left the Lord, Lord didn't leave you. And even while you were doing your thing, God was blessing you. And you know why he was blessing you? Because he's good. And the goodness of God does what? It leads us to repent. Ain't God long-suffering and forbearing to us? What? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Perhaps right now you're standing on ground zero and you just don't let nobody know that your life is messed up. And you know today could be the start of a new beginning. I want to tell you about a hero. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you can just obey the gospel of Christ through the obedience of faith, your life can move from zero to a hero. And the beauty of Christ, he can take you from ground zero and he can take you to a place called heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Brother Moss, how do I accept this hero? You accept him by hearing his word, the gospel, how he died for you on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day for you. Isn't that your hero? Who else died for your sin? Who else was buried for you? Shouldn't he be your hero? Who else is sitting in heaven right now interceding for you? Shouldn't he be your hero? Is that all right? Who's going to come back and take you to heaven on the clouds of glory? Shouldn't he be your hero? Is that all right? And then when you hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, you confess Christ, you're baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And that's shouting ground right there. When your sins are washed away, we sing in the song, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. We sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. He died for my sins. He rose for my justification. He's my hero. He brought me sparks from ground zero. And I'm not ashamed of him. I'll tell the world I love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Is that all right? What do you do? What do you do, Sister Phyllis? I'm talking to you this morning. Yes, ma'am. What do you do when you come to ground zero? I ask y'all, what do you do when you come to ground zero? When you come to ground zero, Lord have mercy, you got to find yourself a hero. Is that all right? And when you find yourself as a hero, you'll know he's been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Is that all right? Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Is that all right? And when you find yourself a hero, you'll know that Jesus Christ, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Is that all right? Yes, when I find myself a hero, I know Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. Jesus is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. Is that all right? He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is that all right? And there's a name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in mine ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. Is that all right? God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. You know why? Because he's my hero. Is that all right? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue got to confess. Is that all right? Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Is that all right? At His name, blinded eyes can see. At His name, crippled legs can walk. Is that all right? At His name, it's the dome of all vocal grandeur. Is that all right? At the name of Jesus, sinners are washed from their sins. Is that all right? And I heard somebody say, oh, hell, the power, Jesus' name, because He's my hero. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal. Come on, y'all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him. I don't hear y'all. Crown Him. Crown Him. Crown Him. Lord of all. And you ought to crown Him in your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. You ought to crown Him in your heart. And I thank God that if I'm on ground zero, I can find myself a hero in His name. I don't know what you're going through, but I know who the answer is. It's Christ. I was talking about in the new convert class this morning. You never put God to a foolish test. But you ought to test God. For example, God says, if you seek first the kingdom, I'll make sure you have what you need economically. Test Him and seek. Now let me get real heavy with you. Sometimes God doesn't need a job to take care of you. A job is an instrument through which He provides for you. Because if you didn't know it, God owns all the jobs. Because the earth is the... God owns the economy. In case you didn't know it, God owns the economy. Huh? Because all God got to do is stop the rain from falling. And see how much tomatoes and peaches you're going to have. He owns the economy. Is that all right? Sometimes, so what we do, we put God to the test by putting Him first and watch His blessings come down. And then, here's one more, and we conclude. He says, if you are faithful to the end, I'm going to give you a crown of life. You test Him, put Him to the test by living a faithful life, and see if He won't give you what He promised. He can take you from ground zero, the lowest point, and bring you to the highest point. And you can then say, my blessing is on the way. Oh Lord, I come to receive, to receive. Patiently waiting. For the harvest, I got the Hebrews, I got the Hebrews 11 and 1, the kind of faith, and it's mine, oh mine, oh yeah, oh Lord, I come, oh Lord. To receive my blessing, patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, the kind of faith, and it's mine.